You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, what is it that we do?
Toss up
and get it, people.
Yes.
What they want. Jalen, let me tell you a quick story.
Listen up.
Last night I was watching NBA. I was watching the Suns and the Pelicans. I wasn't paying attention to the Nets because they were winning by a lot. I wanted to watch a closer game. And then I saw that Kyrie Irving had 41 points in the first half. He went on to score another 19 in the second half. 60 points. It was efficient. It was deadly. He didn't play that much in the fourth quarter. Jalen, what do you think about Kyrie Irving scoring 60?
Can you do the Harlem Globetrotters whistle?
While you talk, yes.
Yeah, okay. Kyrie's greatness, along with Steph Curry, always reminded me of what it would be like if Harlem Globetrotters actually played in the NBA. Like if Curly Neal was an NBA player. Like you're a famed member of the Washington Generals.
General for life.
You've seen this act. Like as a Raptor, I've seen it with Kobe. As a member of the Orlando Magic, they see it with Kyrie. And it's just dazzling to see the efficiency and how he's able to do it from different spots on the floor. It's the pull-up jumper for three. It's the catch-and-shoot jumper in the corner for three. It's the drive and finish with the left. It's the finish with the right. It's the move when he goes behind the screen and he got Cole Anthony on his back.
Put him on his backpack.
And I pull up to my bumper, baby. And just take him to the rack and give him a nice little cinnamon roll.
We'll play the one that you're talking about.
That's just
nasty. Put on Cole Anthony like a backpack.
And put him in his pocket. You know what I'm saying? What about that finish right there? Kyrie, you nasty boy. You nasty.
Jalen, 6 for 7 in the first half from three. And you could tell, one thing I loved about this game watching the second half is you could tell the Nets were like, some special's going on, let's get this man the ball. And you could also tell the Magic were like, let's get the ball out of this man's hands.
Well, one of the things that happens in when a player has a big game like that, if you notice, there isn't usually a stout interior defender on the other team. See, that's what stops that from happening. So, like, when you underestimate, like, a Rudy Gobert, for example, always remember, when you got a guy like that, ain't nobody going to have a game like that because they ain't going to be getting all of those layups. Now, just think about Karl Anthony Towns' game and think about the bigs for the Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Think about Steph Curry's big game and the bigs for the Wizards. Think about Kyrie's big game and the bigs for the Orlando Magic.
KD's big game. And Jericho Sims is in there protecting the rim.
Exactly. And so what ends up now happening is you can't get a guy. It's one thing for a Kyrie to be finishing in the paint. It's another thing that he's going to go 6 for 7 from three. See, that's what changes everything.
And the only way he didn't shoot more efficiently from three is in the second half, he started taking some heat checks.
Yes.
In the second half, he started taking some double team fadeaway threes. He was smiling after one of them, I remember. But like when you talk about the way he was being defended, it got to a certain point. And there's one play I want to point out where the entire Magic team was just like, I don't care what else happens, but Kyrie Irving is not going to score. And it led to him getting some nice assists, especially this one that I'm about to show you to Claxton, where if you watch the Magic defense, there are four defenders just all looking at Kyrie, and Claxton gets an easy layup at the end.
And that's what happens when you have a player that's having a big game. And just think the other day when Kevin Durant got going, they were just basically blitzing him at half court where the Celtics, right? And then they
the Knicks.
And then they fell asleep. He gets a down screen and he makes a shot on the right wing.
But
this gets back to my original point. Ime Udoka as a coach was like, we ain't about to let KD go for 60 on us.
When they played the Celtics and
when they played the Celtics.
Going back and forth.
Absolutely. And so again, this is a dazzling performance by Kyrie. And again, it has you wondering about the Eastern Conference standings.
Well, let's take
because while the Bucks and the Heat and the Raptors have won it the last 3 years, The Nets and the Sixers are making moves.
If you're the Sixers,
the Bulls are still there.
Seems like a great time to rest Joel Embiid.
The Celtics are ascending.
Seems
and
like
the Cavs,
a great time to rest
no
Joel
doubt.
Embiid.
Listen, you know what, James
Harden. James Harden, you need to rest. Joel Embiid, you need to rest. Because I like that three spot. I like that four spot a lot better than the one and two spot with the Nets looming the way they are.
But the one thing about the Nets and these great performances that we now see, don't underestimate that. We've seen them struggle mightily also.
They were 3-17 in 20 games like 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. So I can't just like give them that sixth spot. You know what I mean? Like I know that the Cavs are dealing with some injuries and they may be coming back to the pack some. But I think where the Nets are where they're going to end up. And that's a part of the plan.
So, Jalen, I don't really like to surprise you on the program too much. But Kyrie Irving had a career high and it got us thinking. When did Jalen have a career high? Turns out, 20 years ago to this day, as Deontay Wilder would say, 20 years ago to this day, Jalen Rose had his career high. And I just like to, I'd like to hear you just go through your high.
Oh, don't go underneath that. That's a bucket. Come on, I'm catching, shoot for three, all of that. And a heat check right here on the wing in transition. Looking over at the bench. Oh, now are you going to leave me open? And see, the thing is, you only going to shoot the three like that if you made a couple.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Rudy T,
oh,
my guy, fellow Michigan Wolverine.
44 points, Jalen Rose.
Yeah, man.
44 points.
Balling in the league at Houston. And I'm telling you, what it is.
What is it?
When we did the rankings of best strip clubs in the NBA, what did I tell you Houston ranked?
Houston, you just want to get out of there. Let's get this win.
I credit the night before. I credit the night before in Houston.
Inspired?
James Harden can appreciate what I'm talking about.
You're inspired?
I was inspired.
You're
inspired. I was out late, no curfew. And absolutely.
Oh, look at that. There's some screens for you
but
now.
See,
yeah.
But see here, off the dribble.
Oh.
See, you got to do it.
Left hand on the right side.
All phases. That's the runner, though.
Oh, you see the little jump.
And then a right hand. Oh.
Three of them can't cover me.
Got to put them in reverse, Jacole. All phases of the game.
Oh, back before you had a shape up all the time. Man, good for you. And good for the inspiration from the city of Houston. But there's some controversy in this game as well, Mr. Rose.
What's that?
This was because Kyrie could have gotten 70, maybe even 80 if it was a closer game. I was kind of rooting for the Magic to come back to see something like that. But this was a close game, which is one of the reasons you needed all of those 44 because you only had 42 in the waning seconds of the game. Tell us what happens, Mr. Rose.
In the waning seconds
of the game?
You
don't know. Look at this. Boom! Game winner!
Oh, yeah, the game winner bucket.
But if you look at the clock, that's not a game winner.
Wow. That's before a replay. How about that? I'm pretty
look
sure
good,
you can do that
good,
a lot of times.
Look good, felt good, it's good, it counts.
I just like the fact that I was getting them in all phases.
Yeah,
you know
were.
What I'm saying? At
yeah,
the
you
hoop,
were.
Off the right, off the left,
threes,
off the edge,
before
you know
anyone shot threes.
Exactly.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary,
thank
Mr. Rose.
Thank you, family. I appreciate that.
Time to switch gears. Talk about the NFL. There's been a lot of free agency news in the NFL, and there's an undercurrent, a swirling that's happening around one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That is Deshaun Watson. Now, his criminal charges were dropped. He still faces 22 civil cases. When he was deposed about that, he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights. But what this all means, it feels like teams feel a little bit more comfortable about the idea of Deshaun joining their teams. Thus far, reportedly, the Panthers, Saints, Falcons, and Browns are interested. Mr. Rose, how do you see this progressing? How do you think a fan base would accept him as the face of the franchise? If you ran a franchise, how would you approach this?
If I ran a franchise, I would approach this with honesty. And in sports, we lose a lot of morals and integrity for victory.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is professional sports. There are people doing this for their livelihoods, people that are betting on this. Like, these games, these plays, these mean everything to the men and women involved. And so what I will say is, and I'm glad you teed it up by acknowledging the seriousness of his charges, but at some point, there's the court of law and a court of public opinion. And unfortunately, as media members and as fans of the Falcons, Browns, Panthers, and Saints, we now have to delegate in our mind how we're going to accept or punish him, because in theory, he may or may not end up being punished the way people believe he should be punished by a court of law. So now, should he be allowed to make a living? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so since he won't be incarcerated, now it opens up the prospect that he will be eligible at some point to play football. And since he is eligible at some point to play football, if I have a need at his position, which just so happens to be the most important position in football.
In sports.
And he shown me that he's an all pro. I ain't got to guess. Like,
he led the league in passing.
He's shown me he's an all pro. I would give him an opportunity.
Well, I think you made a really good point when you said, if I have a need at that position. Because when you look at a lot of teams that I named, they have a need at that position. However, Baker Mayfield started for the Browns, and he noticed these reports that his employers were interested in potentially replacing him with Deshaun Watson. So what did he do? It's 2022. He took to Instagram, and Twitter, Instagram, he posted a very long, emotional, sort of sad letter. And in the letter, he said, this is not a goodbye letter. I'm just letting you know how I feel. But everything about it was a goodbye letter. Jalen, we have a jilted Mayfield. But that doesn't mean Deshaun Watson is going there. This looked like something that you post after they signed Deshaun Watson.
And also, he got his first, middle, and last name on there.
Reagan.
Like, this is social media, dog.
Baker Reagan Mayfield.
But here's the... So, like Karis once said, it's not about a salary. It's all about reality. Here's the reality. He didn't play well this year.
He got injured in week two and was never the same.
He didn't play well this year. Like, the one thing about being an athlete... Like, you're going to say it was because he was injured. But when you look back at my highlights when I scored 44, we don't care about what was happening in everybody's lives.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the result.
I do kind of care what's happening in your life the night before, but we don't have to get into that.
We'd go by the result. And if you look at the results of the Cleveland Browns and Blakers play last year, he played poorly.
He did.
And then it doesn't look good on you when Odell Beckham goes somewhere else, catches as many touchdowns in basically a half a season that he did in his entire existence in Cleveland, and wins the Super Bowl. That don't look good.
No.
That ain't a good look, dog. And so he, like everybody else that isn't a franchise quarterback, how do you think Jimmy Garoppolo feel? He done beat Aaron Rodgers twice in the playoffs, led a team to the Super Bowl, all of that.
Went to the Super Bowl.
They drafted somebody in the top five to take his job. That comes with the territory, Baker. You got to be a pro. I ain't mad at the letter. I appreciate the honesty, because here's the honesty that he's also bringing forward that a lot of media and fans don't see. As a player, when they're about to move you, they assassinate your character. And they talk about things that the public can't necessarily see to make you look bad. So then when they move you, it's justified. Like, oh, it's one thing for Baker to play bad, but I knew he had a bad attitude. Oh, he was showing up late to the meeting. He had his head down one time. Got it. So now when you move them, people in Cleveland are like, oh, it makes sense. And then that makes them more open to whatever's next. We just saw that with Ben Simmons and James Harden. James Harden literally quit on the team. But when he got to Philly, how they acting?
Great.
This is our guy.
Running up and down the stairs.
This is our guy. But I caution him and I warn him. Them fans want to win. And so if y'all going to get waxed by the Nets, the optics ain't the best to be out champagning and campaigning. This is coming from somebody that's on the all-NBA roster of champagning and campaigning. Okay, there's optics to this. You see what I'm saying? And of course, you can spend your bread, have your fun, no curfew, do all of that. But show some of that passion on the court when the team you just quit on come to town. And that's what I need to see from Baker. You got to just ball, man. And if they bring in Deshaun, go to your next situation and show what you made of.
Kyrie Irving obviously scored 60 points last night, but much of the discussion
all about
around him surrounds his ability to play home games for the Nets. Now that baseball season will soon be upon us, there are some questions to be asked about superstar players that play that sport in New York City that may or may not be vaccinated. We'll get into that right after this. You're watching Jalen Jacoby.
Come on, Aaron Judge.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Jardiance.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Doubleheader tonight on ESPN, starting at 7:30. It is Luka versus Durant, Mavs, Nets, and then at 10 p.m. it is the Celtics taking on the Warriors. At 7 p.m., Jalen Rose in a suit with a fresh cut.
What up, though?
On NBA Countdown.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to Jalen Jacoby, coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in New York City. Jalen Rose, we watched Kyrie score 60 points. Of course, it was on the road because NYC vaccine mandates will not allow him to play in the Barclays Center, although he can sit courtside at the Barclays Center. Now, as our attention turns to baseball, there are some questions about some of the more prominent Yankees and Mets who will also not be allowed to play home games, given if they have not been vaccinated. Here's what Aaron Judge had to say about his vaccination status.
I'm still focused on, you know, just getting through the first game of spring training. So I think we'll cross that bridge whenever, you know, the time comes. But right now, like, so many things could change. So I'm not really too worried about that right now.
Huh.
Cross bridge. So many things can change.
Huh.
I'm not really worried about that right now. We're worried about that when the first game. Oh, you should be worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to worry about it.
Yeah, and by the way, this isn't a surprise, homie. Like, how long we been dealing with the pandemic?
2 years.
Okay.
Vaccine's been available for about a year.
And he's been in New York how many years?
Let's say about five.
Okay, so clearly he's seen the change, the before, the during, and now. Hopefully we can have an aftermath at some point if we can reach a herd immunity. And you know how we reach herd immunity? People get vaccinated. Like, there hasn't been a time in my life before these last couple of years where other human beings were wearing masks. It hasn't been a time where sports stopped, where businesses stopped, where we started to do things via Zoom. This is a real thing that took place where over 800,000 Americans lost their lives, directly or indirectly. And so this is serious. And they have their choice to whether they want to get vaccinated or not and forfeit part of their salary. But luckily for them, they have the kind of jobs and professions where they still going to get half of their salary. They're not going to lose their job. And like Kyrie, they still get to play the game they love.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to me from inferring from what Aaron Judge avoided that question, sounds like he's unvaccinated. Also sounds like he's got his fingers crossed waiting to see for things to change. But one thing I've learned about this pandemic is it goes away, it comes back, it goes away, it comes back. So I wouldn't be holding my breath to see if he's allowed to play at home.
Change the rules. But private sector workers in New York City, this applies to all of them, not just athletes. So for those who have been laid off or fired or disciplined because of the mandate, you can't now change it for a couple of sports figures.
No.
And I don't anticipate that happening. So again, like Aaron Judge, maybe he's now going to be a roadshow like the Harlem Globetrotters and Kyrie Irving.
We'll see.
This season for the Yankees.
Jalen, when people talk about the success of the Memphis Grizzlies, they focus singularly on Ja Morant.
But
what they
watching.
Don't know is that when Ja Morant was out, they were still winning. And Ja Morant was out last night, and they didn't just beat the Pacers. They waxed the Pacers, and it was a team effort. My God, Steven Adams, there's a lot of Desmond Bane, a lot of Jaren Jackson Jr. Dylan Brooks got involved a little bit. Jalen, without Ja Morant, this makes me believe in this team more with Ja Morant because they get so many contributions from so many different people.
So a few things I want to make sure I point out. As a voter today, Taylor Jenkins is the NBA Coach of the Year.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you why. You started off this conversation for the exact reason. I believe, and this isn't exact, but their team is like 13-2 when Ja does not play. They're like 13-2. When Ja does.
It sounds a little high, but it's in that neighborhood.
Not play. If Luka didn't play 15 games for the Mavs.
2-13.
So what does that say? That says that Taylor Jenkins has done a terrific job of nurturing his roster with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Bane. And then now adding Brooks back, one of my favorite Irrational Confidence guys, And they have an identity that they can play with.
13-2, you're right.
This is what I do for a living, fam. I'm trying to tell
job.
You.
You're doing a great
and
job.
So based on that, you have to give Taylor Jenkins a ton of credit, because when we talk about Ja, we're going to talk about him in the MVP conversation. But then the reason why he's really not going to be a serious candidate, other than the fact that the Joker and Embiid have rebounds and triple-doubles and stuff like that, it's going to be because of games missed. But in those games missed, his team has been fantastic. That's why they're a legitimate contender this year. And I have, now that the Warriors are back healthy, I still have tiers, though. Still have the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors as one tier. And then the next tier is the Memphis Grizzlies, is the Utah Jazz. And below that, for me, are what's going to happen with injuries. Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers. And so this is going to be a great playoff for the East and for the West. But Taylor Jenkins is my coach of the year. Bane has come out of nowhere, had a terrific season. The Memphis Grizzlies are for real sitting at the number two spot.
Absolutely. Last year was great to see them in the playoffs. This year, the expectations are higher. They need to win at least one round and make some noise. Jalen, Miles Turner plays for your former team, the Pacers. And him and my son Quincy have something in common. Love Legos. Love Legos. Miles Turner takes it to a whole nother level.
I'm on a new level.
Look at the Legos he's got. Jalen Rose, quick question for you as we admire his collection. When was the last time you put together a Lego set?
Well, my daughter Gracie loves Legos and building stuff like that too. So I've done a lot of those directly or indirectly with her, but watching her do them. But he's on another level with his.
Not only that, is I buy these for my son. He's got like $10,000 worth of Legos right there on TikTok.
He sunk my battleship. Remember that back in the day?
Of course. Jalen, we have a lot to discuss. Of course, it is March, and we are getting ready for the tournament, and we are going to continue to preview some of the players that you will see play in this tournament that you will soon see play with Jerry West on their chest. We'll get to that right after this. You're watching Jalen Jacoby.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
The Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by WebEx continues. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets, and you can join Jalen and I in the Jalen and Jacoby group. Jalen, we're going to preview some prospects that will be playing in the NBA next year. Freshman from Auburn, Jabari Smith. What do you like about his game?
Well, we've had Bruce Pearl on the show, and we talked about his versatility, his ability to not only shoot from mid-range, but shoot the three, play in transition, as you see. This is the time of year where you see top-flight prospects like this have an opportunity to not only lead their teams to the Final Four, but see if that can translate to the NBA, like we're going to translate to tomorrow, 4 p.m.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx. Tip-off is coming. Download the app now.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen.
What up, though?
The Detroit Pistons.
Detroit basketball!
They're playing the Miami Heat. It was close at the end. But it wasn't that close at the end. I know you had your eye on this game. Jimmy Butler goes down. But the Pistons are showing some signs. They're showing some signs.
A couple of things for my Detroit Pistons. It was good to see Killian Hayes play some quality minutes. Had a couple of good moves. Had a real good medium range post-move step back jumper on the right side. Bay has been improving and doing well all season, making threes and playing with toughness. It was good to see Jeremy Grant out there with those young guys making plays on D. He had a great steal where he went coast to coast and bang, bang with two hands off the right foot. Isaiah Beef Stewart, when he's healthy, giving us physicality and effort. And legitimate candidate for Rookie of the Year, my guy Cade Cunningham, giving us points, rebounds, assists, leadership. Really steady. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we needed as a team. Added Bagley, young fella from Duke, via trade from the Sacramento Kings.
Marvin Bagley III.
And so, you're right. my Pistons are continuing to play with effort. Dwayne Casey has them playing hard. They're improving as the year goes. And I am proud of the squad. I'll be at a game soon. I'll definitely be at a game soon. But I have to say, it was two teams on the court. One of the things that I need to see for the Heat, if they're going to win these, is Kyle Lowry to play better.
Well, he's been injured, but since he's been back, it hasn't been good.
Well, it's been five games. And so you hope that he is able to play the version of that they hope they've gotten. Jimmy Butler left that game, as you mentioned, with an ankle injury. I don't believe it's going to be too serious or too long-term. Bam Adebayo's been awesome this year. Tyler Hero is a legitimate candidate for Sixth Man of the Year. He'd probably win that award this year. But when you have Eric Spoelstra, you know here comes Gabe Vincent. Here comes Strus. Here comes Seven.
Strus, I think, had 16 in the
third
quarter.
Yeah, it's like just the player development from within. You get Morris back. You get Oladipo back. Like, they have
very deep team.
A very deep squad. And so if they're healthy and the Bucks are healthy, I want to give both of those teams their props on being complete teams. But you can't overlook what's happening with the Nets at the bottom of the division. And you obviously, if you're Philadelphia, you hope adding Harden to go with Embiid is going to propel you. But it seems like they're kind of looking eye to eye with the Celtics to me now. It seems like they're becoming a different tier.
I would say this. I don't see the Bulls, the Cavs, or the Raptors winning the Eastern Conference this year. Everybody else, I could see it, and I wouldn't be shocked. And that includes Heat, Bucks, Celtics.
Shock.
Nets.
Shock.
Heats, Bucks, Celtics, Nets, Sixers.
Here's why I'll be shocked if the Nets win the East.
Really?
Because they're going through the play-in, which means they're going to have to eliminate a one or a two seed right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough role.
So you know what it says to me is shout out to Nick Friedell, Mega Triplet. We did hoop streams this weekend. Nick Friedell covers the Nets. And I was like, how bad is Ben's back? You know, he's like, it's a real injury. Like, he's hurt. That's the part. When I always envisioned the Nets sort of like coming from the eighth seed to the finals, it involved Ben Simmons. It involved Ben Simmons playing defense. And it involved Ben Simmons on transition, Ben Simmons making great passes to open Steph Curry and lobs to Drummond. But with half a Kyrie and no Ben Simmons, no.
Well, that's why when you started to talk about teams that could win the East, I hit the brakes on the Nets.
So you'd really be shocked.
Shocked.
Okay, you just saw Kyrie Irving score 60.
He did.
And then you saw two games before that, KD score 53. And you'd still be shocked if they won the East.
I'd be shocked. And it's not because I don't believe in both of those guys as dynamic champions. I've seen KD shoot down LeBron and win back-to-back finals MVP. I've seen Kyrie propel the Cavs with LeBron over Steph Curry. So I know the players that I'm talking about. But I also understand that this is a game where you got to appreciate the journey. And what's going to happen is when you're a part of the play-in, there's no room for error. And is Kyrie still a part-time player?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, you got, and is Ben Simmons going to play at all?
No idea.
So like, that's, there you go. That's why I'd be shocked if they win it. Like, that don't sound like a team that's about to just beat the Bucks and beat the Heat in the same playoff series, in the same season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, it's going to be great theater. I'm here for it. But as long as Kyrie's a part-time player, and as long as Ben Simmons isn't playing,
but both those things can't change.
I would be shocked.
Both those things can't change.
If they win, you're asking me today. Today's day, I think, is the 16th. I would be shocked if the Nets won the East.
Celtics? Shocked?
I'd be shocked if the Celtics won the East. And the reason why is I appreciate like how they've improved defensively. And there were people down on them, down on Ime Udoka earlier in the year. Even
for good reason.
No, that wasn't good reason.
Jalen, the play on the court and the record in the standings was not looking good.
It wasn't good reason because I'm about to tell you all of the factors that happened when he took the job. Number one, he took over Brad Stevens' team and Brad went to the first front office. So that dynamic right there as the GM now shows the players who he really was riding for. So now the other player's going to sit back and be like, oh, okay, yeah, he's going to make sure Marcus Smart get taken care of. I knew that was his guy. Like, people pay attention, and rightfully so. But the key to what Ime did that Brad wasn't able to do, and I say wasn't able to do because a lot of it was personnel because they didn't have Al Horford on the team, is Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum always ended up playing the four in theory late in games. And they always ended up guarding somebody that was 25, 30 pounds heavier than them. That wasn't a remedy for success. Insert Al Horford with Time Lord. Williams as a backup that can shoot the three. Now all of a sudden their rim protection and their ability to switch late in the shot clock. And now their ability to free up Jason Tatum to be a scorer. Like Jason Tatum's free to be a scorer. When they going against the best scorer, when they going against Kevin Durant, he like, Jaylen Brown, you get him. They going against Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart, you get him. So now he can focus on being an offensive weapon and he's being dominant. But I don't believe that they're a championship caliber team. So yes, I would be shocked if they won the East this year.
Would you be shocked if the Suns won the West?
No.
Would you be shocked if the Warriors won the West?
No.
Would you be shocked if the Grizzlies won
yes,
the West?
Yes, I would.
Would you be shocked if the Mavs won the West?
They not winning the West.
Would you be shocked if the Jazz won the West?
Yes.
Would you be shocked if the Nuggets won the West?
They ain't winning the West.
Yeah, same for this three teams. I mean, the Grizzlies, would you be shocked?
Yes.
I think there's two teams that wouldn't shock me in the West. It's different.
Warriors and Suns.
It's Warriors and Suns.
Correct.
And it looks like James Wiseman, who played in the G League recently, could be coming back. And people sleep on that. Everyone talks about Draymond Clay. James Wiseman's like 7'2". They can like hit jump shots and rim protect. Like they ask a lot of Kevon Looney. You know what I mean? And that's an upgrade. Like I think people overlook the James Wiseman part of this. Maybe it's only 15, 20 minutes a game, but that's an important 15, 20 minutes.
Agreed. It all matters. I mean, he's a top three pick. And one of the reasons why they took him is because of his height. Like, but other than Draymond Green and Looney, sometimes they're challenged as it relates to rim protection and height. Mm-hmm. You got Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis and Zubac and all these big body dudes coming to town. Like, you're going to need somebody to play against them. And so, the Nuggets are an interesting team based on what's going to happen with Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, but the only two teams in the West I wouldn't be shocked if they won were the Suns and the Warriors.
I expect to see the Suns and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
Me too.
I expect to see that.
Me too.
Yeah, I think the Grizzlies will lose in the second round to one of those teams, but and likely the Mavs.
Well, here's the thing you got to watch. The 2 and 3 spot right now. Because whoever ends up 2 has a chance to play against the Suns in the finals of the West. Whoever ends up 3 going to play them in the second round.
That's not necessarily sure, Mr. Rose.
Right?
If you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 and 4 play and 2 and 3 play.
1 and 4, 2 and 3.
1 plays the lower C.
Gotcha. They need to reach. You know what needs to happen? And that's so much math in my mind.
I know.
They actually need to reshuffle the org of the numbers as teams progress in the playoffs. So, like,
yes.
if a 4 seed wins and a 1 seed gets bounced, right? It should be 2 seed now, 3 seed now, get home court advantage.
Yeah, that's how it works, actually.
Right?
That is how it works. Mr. Rose,
what up, though?
What do you think about this idea? Number 1 seed, maybe number 2 seed in this new play-in world, open mind, get to pick their opponent in the first round.
I don't like it.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it so much.
I don't like it.
You're just old. This is what happens with old people. They don't like new ideas. Like, I don't even get to finish the sentence. You're already out here being like, I don't like it. And if you listen to the pod, he's just shaking his head back and forth. He's upset with me for even bringing it up.
I don't like it.
Doesn't like it. I love it.
Want some, get some, bad enough, take some. You root for an opponent, you ask for an opponent, that's a recipe for disaster.
Recipe for drama, recipe for intrigue, recipe for bad blood, recipe for rivalry. So all of those things you like.
Talk to me about how that would work.
Okay. The Miami Heat are the number 1 seed.
Okay.
The Raptors are the 7 seed, and the Nets are the 8 seed. Let's imagine what Kyrie Irving can play home games. Ben Simmons has played a couple regular season games to get warmed up. And you're the Heat. You say, I'll take the Raptors instead of the Nets. Thank you very much.
But we already have a play-in for that. That's what's kind of throwing
me off. No, they won the play-in. Play-in's over. Play-in's over. We have 1-8 in the East.
Okay, so that means... So
the Raptors and the Nets won their play-in.
So that means the Raptors won 2 games.
The Raptors won...
To get 7.
The Raptors won 1 game to get 7.
And
the Nets lost to the Raptors and then beat the Hornets. Okay. So now that's 7-8 of the Raptors, right? Cavs, Celtics, Bulls.
Right.
You know, you get
it. So if you're 1 and they're 8, and
you could choose to pick... You could choose whether you want to play the Raptors or... The Nets, and they're going to do it on NBA Countdown. On NBA Countdown, Jimmy Butler's going to come on via Zoom, and he's going to announce who they decided their first-round opponent's going to be. You don't like that drama? You don't like that? You should have that. You should. That should be worth something. You played the best 82 games out of everybody in your whole conference. You get rewarded with selecting your first-round opponent. You could pick the Cavs if someone gets hurt. You could pick the Cavs.
Do you like the play-in idea?
Not particularly, no. I like the games. I like the nights, but I don't love the idea. Like, if I was the commissioner, I probably wouldn't have done that.
You wouldn't have a play-in?
Let me think about this for a second. I do like the play-in because I remember the world before the play-in where the 9 and 10 seed was already being like, all right, season's over. None of this matters.
So,
you know what I mean?
So if you like the play-in, your idea about the 1 seed picking them – against 7 or 8 undermines the entire play-in.
No, it does not, Mr. Rose. You're not understanding. The play-in tournament's already over before the number 1 seed makes their selection.
Let me tell you why it undermines it. Because you're doing the play-in to decide who gets 7, right? So that should matter. You're doing the play-in to decide who gets 8.
Yep.
That should matter. Now you're dismissing all of that work by telling the number 1 seed that they can choose who they play.
Yeah.
No,
the plan is to make the playoffs. You made the playoffs. Congratulations. That's why we had the play-in tournament. You play into the playoffs.
But
now when it comes to first round matchups, now it's first round matchups. The choice is on the number 1 team to pick between the 2 teams that made the play-in.
But you're minimizing the 82 games. You're minimizing the play-in and you're minimizing the 7th seed.
And I'm maximizing the 1 seed.
I don't like it.
I'm maximizing the one.
Call 985-80-JALEN. Do you like Jacoby's idea?
This is not my idea. This has been around forever. This has been talked about every year, especially when we have these 7-8 seeds that are particularly dangerous, like this year. Also, Lakers aren't making the playoffs. Let's just say that right now. Yeah. I can't see them winning 2 straight games in the regular season. Forget the play-in tournament.
Yeah, they in trouble. But yeah,
I like it. If you're the Heat. Wouldn't you like to come on? Wouldn't you like Jimmy Butler to come on NBA Countdown?
Now that's different.
Wouldn't you like him to come on NBA Countdown?
Of course.
And say, like, it'd be dramatic. You know what I mean? It's like, think about the All-Star Draft. It's like that. It's like another thing. It's another big announcement. It's another big show.
You know what else would be dramatic? If LeBron can announce that the Lakers going to play the Clippers in the first round.
But if the Lakers won, if they won 57 games and they had the best record in the league.
I'm just saying there are a lot of things you can do to create drama, but you're just totally dismissing the 7th seed. That means you're dismissing the regular season and the play-in. So now I'm sitting at the 7th seed. I earned this 7th seed.
No. You earned the 7th seed by beating the 8th seed in the first play-in game. So when you say earned it, you know, you won a game.
Well, no, you got to play 82 games to jockey for
the play-in. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So we're not minimizing the regular season. We're not minimizing the play-in tournament.
Call 985-80-JALEN. I don't like it.
Everyone under 40 is going to like this idea.
Yeah, I don't.
You
got to
say your age. If you're chiming in on this, you got to say your age.
No, don't try to swing.
Don't try to age.
You know what I'm saying?
Try to age shame. Ageism.
Right.
You're like 2 years older than me.
Trying to manipulate the audience.
Yeah, I act like I'm younger than you. It's like 3 years. And one thing you realize about age gaps is like, so I'm 43, about to turn 44. We'll call it 44. You're 47, right?
49.
Really? Are you really that old?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Man. 50 next year? What are we doing? Oh, no. Is it going to be the whole year celebration?
Why not?
Do like a month.
No, 50 got to be 6 months.
50's got to be big. Yeah.
6 months.
I think you have to involve multiple things. I got a problem. So I know my wife doesn't listen to the podcast. I need your help. Her 40th birthday. I probably shouldn't say that. She has a birthday coming up. It's April 22nd. I got to put together some things. And she's not helping with the planning very much. She really wants me to do everything. How much involvement should Joey have in the planning of her 40th birthday?
Is it a milestone birthday?
Yeah.
It's 40. So I would say you should have her be, and you might think this number is high, just let her be 75% involved in it.
That's what I'm saying. I think she should be all the way involved. I'm not allowed to make decisions. She kind of wants me to handle everything. I'm like, if I handle everything, we're going to handle it wrong. We're going to go to an Irish bar and watch NBA.
No, it ain't that you're going to handle it wrong.
No, I will. I promise.
No, it's not that you're going to handle it wrong. It's not you're not going to do exactly what she would do every step of the way. And at some point, when you're locking step, one step, two step, three step, and you're doing what she feels like you should do, they are great. And then, oh, you don't do a step that she felt like y'all should do, and then that's when.
Mm. Do you know what reminds me of? This is something
your
I've never done.
Your plan goes awry.
This is something I would never do and I've never done, but I wonder what you think about it. You're at a restaurant on a date. It's like third date. Nice restaurant. You've been there a bunch of times. Your date's never been there before. Server comes over. Hey, can I get something to drink? You guys order drinks. Get some chance to look at the menu. Drinks comes. Oh, give me one more second. I gotta look at the menu. You guys are looking at the menu, talking things over a little bit. Server comes back over to you. You order for your date. She doesn't even speak. You're saying, I'll have XYZ. She's going to have ABC. I would never do this. Have you ever done this? And how do you feel about this as a practice?
The only person I've heard get away with this is Prince Hakeem and Coming to America.
People, I think this is like a 50s thing. You know what I mean? It's just being like, I'm going to have the steak and she's going to have the chicken.
Like, that's like, so barbaric, yeah, and archaic.
Imagine being the woman being like, I don't want the chicken, I want the fish. What are you doing? My wife would just sit there. One thing that happens to me, though, and this is just me being insecure and just a sad, unconfident person, is I don't like it when me and my wife talk about what we're going to get, and then she kind of orders everything, because I always let her order first. You know what I mean? But then when she orders everything, because we've already got a strategy. We're working together. You know what I mean? But then she'll kind of order every single thing. And I'll sit there being like, well, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I get my turn. You know, gotcha. You know what I mean?
I feel what you're saying.
I get my turn. Like, yeah, I also like to add little qualifications to it. Like, right. You know, I learned from Jalen Anthony Rose. You got to qualify things.
Yeah.
That is how, you know.
But the other thing is, Black people don't order exactly what's on the menu.
Not even close.
So now not only is she ordering for you, she ordering things that ain't on the menu for her and you. Mm-hmm. So now the server's looking at you, to your point, almost like you're powerless, because after he took the order and did all of the modifications for 30 minutes, he now look at you and like, what'd you want?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm
good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good.
Have another glass of water. Call 985-80-JALEN. I'd love to hear what you think about these two topics. And if you call 985-80-JALEN, you leave us a voicemail, put it on the show just like this.
Yo, what up, Jalen? It's Jacoby. It's Danny from Atlanta.
Danny from Atlanta.
Shout out Reg Ledge.
Shout out Reg the Ledge.
Go pick up my wife, listening to the podcast. And I got inspired to call. Jalen, got a question for you.
Question is,
a lot of people like to steal your swag and your mannerism. So I'd like to know, what's the most egregious example of you, and you don't have to name names, but the most egregious example to you of somebody stealing your swag. So thanks for listening. Keep putting on. Keep giving the people what they want. Keep bossing up.
Thanks to you for listening, Danny from Atlanta. Jalen, you notice when people sort of move with your moves. You always call yourself an influencer and tastemaker. So that's just part of the territory, part of the job description. He wants you to give an example without naming names of one of the more egregious times that this has happened.
Thank you for the call. What up, Doe, to Atlanta? Danny's call was about people stealing my, as he called it, swag. Danny, you know we retired that word on this show. We retired that word. It's hanging up in the studio right now. And mannerisms. So, my life is like a soundtrack of Jay-Z albums. That's what I learned. You know, at first, I'm Reasonable Doubt. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want nobody on my corner. Nobody slang better than me. Nobody rhyme better than me. Nobody do nothing better than me. You know, I'm establishing myself. And then as you get a little older and you start having kids and you start rhyming about art and you start looking at life a little different, you start to appreciate when you realize that subliminally people are copying your style. And for me, because I've been high profile for a really long time, I purposely do things when I know people aren't doing them so that I can see when somebody actually is stealing what I do. I do it on purpose. I'll give you an example. In 2018, people in sports media weren't wearing hoodies under blazers. I remember doing that and watching how it started to happen around the industry, and I loved it.
I got an idea.
Same thing with turtlenecks. Remember, I told you, Jacob, I'm wear a turtleneck every day until everybody.
I got an idea.
Want to hear it? Yes.
Sweater vests. Let's just plant something right now. Let's just test this theory. Let's just pick a clothing item or an accessory, and just see only the podcast listeners.
I got you. I give you an easy accessory that people are trying to copy right now. Frames.
It's already done, though. That's already over.
Frames.
It's already done.
Now you can look back 6 months.
Oh, I know. That's already done.
Frames.
I'll think of something.
Frames.
We're going to think of something.
Yeah.
I got you.
Right. Frames.
I got you. We will be back tomorrow with another Dope Pod to Step To. I'll be wearing a sweater vest and frames. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
Thank you for the love. 10 years and counting. Jalen and Jacoby, we take pride in giving the people what they want. Shout out to the Jalen versus Everybody audience checking us out on IG. Make sure you check out that Renaissance Man podcast. This week's episode is Fab 5 Freddy. Make sure you check out Jalen and Jacoby every day on ESPN2 at 4 p.m. and download the podcast. Like the Blastmaster KRS-One once said, we're not done. We're not done. We are not done.